Welcome, folks. This is Mark Steiner here on The Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And this is part of our series leading up to the Annapolis Summit coming up this Wednesday, January 13th, in Annapolis at the Calvert House with the governor, the speaker, and the president. And with our partners, the Daily Record, we have been doing a series of conversations. They're writing the articles. We're doing these conversations on the radio. And today's is about transportation and the issues that faced the state over the last year, but more pointedly about what we would be facing in this legislative session. We are joined by Richard Hall. Rich Hall is Executive Director of the Citizens Planning and Housing Association. He's a professional planner with 3 years of experience, 23 of those with the Maryland Department of Planning, and 8 of those, 23, as Secretary of Planning for the State. Rich, good to see you again in the studio.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be here.
We're joined by Senator Rich Madaleno, who represents the 18th District in Montgomery County. Senator, good to have you with us.
Great to be with you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And Senator George Edwards, who represents District 1 in Allegheny and Garrett counties and parts of Washington County in Western Maryland. And Senator Edwards, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And it's going to be a good year. I think 2016 feels right. We'll see. But let me begin. I want to see what you think will be the most pressing issues that are going to face this General Assembly in 2016. And if I might, Senator Edwards, I'd like to start with you.
Well, that's a good, very good question. I think the budget's always at the top of it. And, you know, we had some squabbles last year, and the governor wants to get our structural deficit to zero. So he's going to put a budget together that does that. And so I'm sure that'll be the main discussion point, because about everything revolves around the budget. But there are going to be a lot of things out there that we're not even thinking about at this point in time. And you have a lot of new legislators who the first year probably don't put too many bills in, but I news today there's like 1,800 being drafted as we speak, so, which is a pretty good number for this early.
A huge number, but it's specific about transportation. What do you think that the hot button pieces will be for you?
Well, transportation, it's always, and again, it deals with the budgets, highway user revenue funds that all the counties and the municipalities want back. Governors put a plan in place to do that over a period of 8 years because you can't just do it all at one time. So that's probably at the top of the list. I don't know. You know, there's some discussion about red lines and purple lines and how our decisions made, so I don't know. My colleague might put some bills in to try to put some program in place of how you do the projections better on where you do certain projects. That may come to the forefront. But as far as roads itself, you're not going to see anything dealing with gas taxes and that kind of issue, I don't believe. We kind of looked at that last year, so that's probably not going to be on the table. That would be something dealing with growth.
So, and Senator Madaleno, where do you see it falling this year?
Well, I think on transportation, there are going to be a few big things that we're going to be talking about. First, the Purple Line. The Purple Line decision has to be made, and it's going to happen at the same time the session is going on.
And what is that decision?
The who to move forward with as our our public-private partner in building the Purple Line. The governor said he wanted to move forward, asked for the bids to come in. There are 4 teams that have put in both comprehensive design bids as well as fiscal bids, and the state is negotiating with them right now. All of that because it's this public-private partnership, which I'm sure Rich Hall can go into great detail as to why we're doing it this way, but this is all going on in a confidential manner as provided for under the law. But the governor's decision of whether or not to move forward with the Purple Line and which is the preferred bid team to move forward with will happen during the session. So Senator Edwards and I on the Budget and Tax Committee and our colleagues on the Appropriations Committee will have to review this plan to move forward. And signal to the Board of Public Works whether or not we think this is a viable plan. The governor has to decide whether or not this works financially for the state and whether or not he's going to even present one to us and the Board of Public Works. And, of course, then the comptroller and the treasurer will have to weigh in as well. So all of that is going to happen while we are in session this year. I'm sure there are going to be efforts to look at is there a way to undo, to reverse the governor's decision about the red line? Traditionally, we don't get involved in project-by-project decisions because, using one of my favorite terms from the Cold War, mutually assured destruction. You know, once I go after Senator Edwards' project, he's going to go after my project, and then, you know, who knows where things end from there. You might see an effort by Baltimore legislators to figure out how we can undo the governor's decision about the red line. The federal government passed the comprehensive transportation bill. We'll be looking at how that impacts our plans moving forward in the state. The Augustine Commission, this commission that's looking at our economic competitiveness in the state, has highlighted our recent failure to invest in infrastructure as one of the ways that we have fallen behind some of our competitors, thanks to the new tax plan we put in place 3 years ago that the governor opposed and tried to rescind, but now we'll be happily spending all the money from. The Augustine Commission might have some recommendations to say we didn't go far enough, we didn't go fast enough on infrastructure spending, and who knows, here is a gas tax proposal that Senator Edwards and I haven't even been thinking about, but that comes out of that economic competitiveness report. And then finally, for those of us in the Washington area, the ongoing safety concerns and maintenance concerns with the Washington Metro system, I'm sure will be much discussed by at least those of us in the Washington area, and whether or not WMATA, the entity that runs Metro Rail and Metro Buses, positioned to keep the system running in a manner that is so important to the Washington regional economy and therefore to the state's economy.
And so, just before we get, I'm going to get into some specifics here. Give me your agenda. What do you think will be on the table? What should be on the front burner for you?
Well, for transportation, for my group, Citizens Planning and Housing Association, we're working with several other groups, including Central Maryland Transportation Alliance and Thousand Friends of Maryland. And so we have four areas we like to see improvements on, some next steps in state government, whether that's legislation or not. And those four things briefly are an open and transparent and more objective process for making decisions, funding decisions for transportation projects, an oversight board for the Maryland Transit Authority, increasing the commuter tax benefit that employers can offer their employees for using transit. It exists now, but we think some tweaks could make that a lot better. And to remove the fare box recovery requirement. None of these things are brand new. They have been brought up in the past from time to time, but we think for a whole host of reasons, now is the time to move forward on these issues.
So, but let's get down to brass tacks here for some of these things here. And I think that I want to get your response to this, I want to play a clip for you all, a conversation we had a few weeks ago with Sherrilyn Ifill, who is the CEO and Chief Legal Officer for the Legal Defense Fund, known as the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund, who, along with some other groups, are suing the state of Maryland with the Department of Transportation for saying that ending the red line was discriminatory. And I want to talk about the politics of that with the three of you and how that plays out in this session. But let me play the clip from our program with Sherrilyn Ifill.
You know, it was actually quite astonishing. The governor had bothered to set up a temporary office in West Baltimore during the unrest after the death of Freddie Gray and pledged himself to be committed to Baltimore City. And then in June made this very startling unilateral announcement. We thought it was really important. We were talking to community leaders and folks in Baltimore almost from immediately after the decision. As someone myself who lived in Baltimore for a very long time, I'm keenly aware of the transportation deficiencies in the city and what it really means for the lives of young people, for the lives of low-income people, for the lives of women. I do actually think there is a gender element to the need for safe, effective, fast rapid transit in our city. And to understand the connection between transportation and economic opportunity and housing ending housing segregation, they're all of a piece. And so for the governor to unilaterally announce the end of the red line along this east-west corridor was fairly shocking. And what we tried to do in our complaint was to put that decision within the context of decades of transportation decisions that have been made in Baltimore that have had a negative disparate impact on African-American communities, to understand the kind of issue of structural inequity that exists in Baltimore City. It's not enough to take the snapshot picture of a CVS burning and think you understand Baltimore. You have to understand the layers of structural inequity that have created some of the problems that many residents of Baltimore face, particularly African-American residents.
So that was a clip just from a longer interview that we had with Sherilyn Ifill when the lawsuit was announced. So I'd like to just kind of start, just go around the room here, and please jump in. Rich Madeleine, let me just let you start. I mean, just this, what that lawsuit means in terms of what you, how it may affect this legislature and how it may affect this debate about what happens with things like the red line and how we spend transportation money. How much will this affect this debate?
Well, I think it's going to help propel forward one of the items that you heard Rich Hall talk about as far as the priorities of his organization of trying to figure out ways that we make decisions about projects in the state of Maryland. We have functioned for a long time with a system that provides incredible amount of control to the governor and to the Secretary of Transportation. And throughout our history, to back up a little bit, you know, we would do, as Senator Edwards, who's been a longtime legislator and leader on transportation, knows, you know, you would do every few years, you would do a 5-cent increase on the gas tax, and a bunch of projects would come forward, and the administration would deal with legislators who were willing to vote for the package. And that would cobble together the big and small projects that would be funded out of that 5 cents, and then we would go a few more years and then go through the whole effort again. Well, that really broke down about 20 years ago, and we have been kind of just functioning on autopilot, where we've done either things through tolls, you know, like the Interconnect Connector or the express toll lanes on I-95 going north of Baltimore City, where we really just did things through system preservation. How do we just keep what we have going through small-scale projects? And then two years ago, we passed this major revision to our gas tax, where we won't go through that whole process probably ever again, because we established a sales tax on gas, and that will provide us with ongoing revenues. And the question is, do we still want do colleagues, you know, whether you're right or left, Democrat, Republican, rural, urban, suburban, do you want to just give this incredible pool of money to an administration, whether it's this one or the next one or the following one, and just have them determine priorities, as opposed to coming up with some sort of robust measure that allows projects to be compared against each other and a plan to be put forward? And that's, I mean, to me, that's why Ms. Ifill's comments are so enlightening about how we go about making these decisions. Is it just about cars? Is it just about congestion? Is it about other factors? Is it about, you know, a project that brings 100 jobs to Garrett County might in fact be more important than a project that brings 500 jobs to Montgomery County, because those 100 jobs are such a larger impact on the Garrett County economy. So, you know, how do we come up with with good ways that we can measure projects. And, you know, that's what I think Ms. Eiffel was talking about, was laying out those sorts of different measures that we should be looking at. And I think that's what Rich Hall is trying to push forward with legislation that his organization is championing.
So, I mean, so George, let me ask you what your thinking is. I'm going to hear Rich's as well, but then I'm going to get into what the debates are between roads and rail in the state as well. But go ahead, George.
Well, you know, transportation is not just mass transit. And originally, when we did the gas tax way back whenever it started, it was for roads and bridges. Now it's expanded into the port, the airport, and mass transit. And the fact of the matter, mass transit's taken more than half probably the money that comes into the trust fund today. But, Rich is right. Over the years, going back, I first went in the legislature election of 82, first session of 83. We were doing like a nickel every couple of years, and I actually supported a nickel increase, I believe it was 83, because at that time we were told we were going to get a road project out here, and the money didn't come in the way they expected, so the first thing they cut out was the road that we were supposed to get out here. So that didn't make me too happy and not supportive of future increases. So Ms. Eiffel talked about cutting this out. Well, you know, roads have been planned in the past, and projects in the past that have been cut out when a new governor comes in. That's really nothing new. The governor kind of sets the trend, not only in transportation, but other budgetary matters. The governor, through the authority of administrative budget, puts together a budget and sets the priorities and puts money where their priorities lie. But, we're the only state, and I've not been told otherwise, and I've mentioned this for the last 5-10 years, that has a major mass transit system that doesn't have some kind of local tax to help pay for it. I put bills in the last several years to try to do that, not to cut. My approach would be they could keep getting what they're getting out of the trust fund, but if you want any future money, you do a local tax, and there's many ways you can do that. But that didn't get very far. So, you know, roads are to the rural parts of the state are very, very important. And I get a little wound up, you know, reading the article in the Baltimore Sun here about the red line and race, what you've been talking about. Talks about the project in Garrett County. Says, where do the other capital dollars go to projects elsewhere across the state? Some questionable merit, like the realignment of U.S. 219 in Garrett County, where traffic congestion is defined as seeing another vehicle or two on the road. Well, that gets back, Rich, and I appreciate his comments about, you know, you do a project, might create 100 jobs here, more valuable than one in Montgomery, it might create 500. This one creates thousands. And, oh, by the way, the money going into this project is all federal money. It's not state money. And so if you change the process, it wouldn't matter, because this is the only road in the state that $90 million projected to be spent can only be spent on. So some people down in the central part of the state need to look at the facts on this stuff, and what the money is, where it's coming from, and how it's to be spent. And all we're looking at, and if you look at the last, probably at least in the Governor O'Malley's administration, the only major project outside of the metropolitan area was in Frederick. Some people now classify Frederick as part of the metropolitan area. You know, the concerns from the rural parts of the state is if you get, and there is a process in place. I mean, you go, they, CTP is a secure program. They go to the counties every year. The counties actually present their priorities to the state. That's worked into what they come up with when they look at their priorities. But again, it's up to the governor, has the authority to set what the governor wants as priorities in transportation.
So
you need to have transit. I'm not. Don't. We do. It's very important. Very important to Montgomery County. Senator Madalino makes me well aware of that every year, and I'm supportive of mass transit. Because how did these areas grow? How did Baltimore grow? How did the Washington area grow? It was through transportation increases and improvements. And that's what we're asking in our parts of the state, is to improve our transportation networks so our people can have a good opportunity to get businesses in here to create jobs, good paying jobs, so our young people stay here, and they don't have to metropolitan area to get a job.
So
I'm just going to get get in a hassle if you start going trying to do something. You're going to get in a battle between, well, is your project more important than this project? Is B more important than C, et cetera?
But so Rich, I mean, we all have like 10 minutes left in our segment. I really want to get into some of this between you all. So, I mean, is a red line dead for you then?
Well, you know, you never say never. And, you know, under potentially some scenario in the General Assembly, there are some ways that it could potentially come back. Under this administration, it could come back under a future administration, you know. But I don't see it coming back anytime soon. But that alignment has been identified for decades as critical, and so and that will not go away. It's serving some of the most challenged urban areas, not in Baltimore, not in the Baltimore region, not in Maryland, but nationally.
So how do we? I mean, A, where does the money come from, since we can't seem to figure out how to get money for transportation other than taking money out and putting it back in the transportation fund? Where does the money come from to ensure that that rural areas need the roads that they have, but that the two major metropolitan areas in the state, Baltimore and the Washington suburbs, have the rail and buses that they need to build that system out? And is our future there and connecting ourselves to rail, or is it connecting ourselves to the roads? And I think, Rich, that's part of the problem. We have a real fundamental problem about money and also a pragmatic philosophical approach to where the money should be spent.
Sure. I would just say, I mean, we can talk about individual projects, whether it's, you know, Route 219 out in Garrett County that Senator Edwards was talking about, or the Red Line, Purple Line. They're all, you know, something that are important to discuss. But to your point, Mark, going forward, you know, as both the senators articulated very well, we don't have the kinds of money, whether generated locally, regionally, in the state, or nationally. At no level of government do we have the kind of funds coming in that we used to. And for better or worse, that's just our reality. That's been a trend for quite some time. So I think what that does is to make it even more critical than it's ever been to be as smart as possible, as transparent and open as possible, and objective as possible to make funding decisions for transportation. And that's one of the priorities of my organization and the organizations we're partnering with, is to look at what many other states have done, including our neighbor to the south, Virginia, to come up with a system to rank projects based on objective criteria. Ultimately, human beings do make the decision. We're not suggesting that anyone creates a black box, a robotic decision-making system. But Maryland is behind many other states in how open and how objective the process is to make decisions about transportation decisions. And, you know, I think if we can land the man on the moon, which was done back in 1969, we can figure out a system that works for rural Maryland, suburban Maryland, and urban Maryland.
And Rich Bandolato, I mean, is that possible given what everybody's talking about here, and we still can't agree on where the funds are going to come from, whether it's the...
Well, I'm much more optimistic than Mark or Rich about the funds.
Okay.
I mean, one of the big legacies of Martin O'Malley for the state of Maryland is spending years pushing forward and actually then successfully getting the General Assembly to pass probably one of the model funding bills for the entire country. I mean, we remain with an excise tax, but we also have a sales tax component that will grow as the price of gasoline grows. We will have far more revenue coming into the transportation trust fund as a result of these decisions. You know, sadly, you could probably make the case that decision, coupled with a few others, may have cost Lieutenant Governor Brown the election. And interestingly, given Governor Hogan a huge pot of money to spend for the next 4 years, or probably what he would vision would be the next 8 years. And with this new system, that will provide the state with a far more robust amount of money moving forward, I think we have to couple it with, as what Rich Hall was talking about, a decision-making process that isn't entirely and inherently political. You can't take the politics out of it. There is always going to be, I mean, that's human nature. That's fundamental to our system. It helps what build compromise. But you've got to bring some sort of objective guidelines to this, because while Senator Edwards talked about every county does come up with its priorities list, and they do, in some ways those priorities lists reflect the politics of each one of the jurisdictions. You know, every little part of every county has to say, you know, get what's the bad intersection, what metro station needs parking, all of those things go into place. You gotta have guidelines of how you determine this project, this intersection in Kensington, is more or less important from a safety standpoint, from a congestion standpoint, than this intersection in Oakland.
So we have to wrap it up here, but I want to kind of really quickly. So it feels in some ways like from our conversation, we don't feel like this session is going to be a major session on transportation, on those needs. That it's not going to be at the heart of these debates, is it? Rich?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking.
In terms of decisions, in terms of this question of how we really develop the state in transportation, it sounds like our needs, rail, roads, wherever we're going to spend it, it doesn't sound as if we're at a point where serious decisions can be made around those issues. I'm being too caustic or pessimistic, I think, is which Madeline would think I'm being.
We're advocating for legislation to make the changes we're looking for. And, you know, this is a classic time of year when you don't know what bills are going to be done, nor who will be sponsors of them. And certainly you don't know whether or not they'll be successful. If I had to guess, some of the things that we've been talking about today will find their way into General Assembly pool of bills this session, but I don't know that for sure. Your three guests, as well as yourself, know a little bit about how the General Assembly works. So we're hoping that there are bills. I'll put it that way.
So we do have to end here. So, Senators Edwards, if you have like a 30-second end, we'll take it.
Yeah, I don't think it's transportation going to be at the top of the page on. In the session, I think you're going to see economic development issues at the top of the page. Corporate taxes is going to be one of the major issues. And I agree with a lot of things both Rich said. I just think if we're going to look at if the federal government doesn't give us more money, which they should, I mean, they need to restructure what they're doing in the infrastructure also. We need to broaden the base. It's some in last 2 years, but we need to look at what I've talked about before. You know, we're the only place that doesn't have some local kind of mass transit taxing funding to help do that. So I think we need to look at broadening the base to help pay for some of these projects that right. Everybody wants done right away, and that's not going to happen unless you do something quicker.
I'm sorry, we will continue this during the course of the session, and I really appreciate the time you three busy men have spent with us. You just heard Senator George Edwards, who represents the 1st District, Allegheny and Garrett counties, and parts of Washington County. Senator Rich Madaleno, who represents the 18th District in Montgomery County. Rich Hall, who is Executive Director of Citizens Planning and Housing Association and former Secretary of Planning for the state of Maryland for 8 years. Gentlemen, thank you, and I look forward to this session coming up. See you all in Annapolis.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
We have to take a brief break here. Stay with us. When we return, we'll learn about the epic story of Reconstruction for the lives of the first black congressman. Stay with us. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com.